And the whole purpose of that was to reestablish the caliphate. Now, you know, this is kind of like scary, like, oh, how dare they do that? But in all fairness, imagine that you're a Catholic, and for the past 80 years, there's been no pope. You know, let's say whatever, you know, I don't know, Japanese moved in and kicked him out. You know, just whatever. You know, there's no pope for the past 80 years. I'm just trying to, the Finns did it. The Finns! And so, you know, there's just this gaping yearning for the reestablishment of the pope. I mean, you know, this is part of your religion. And so for those that are diligent, that are devout Muslims, they want to see the reestablishment of the caliphate. They want to see the, in Arabic, it's the khilafa, that's the caliph, and the caliphate is the khalifa. So we say it in English, caliphate and caliph. And there's other organizations as well. Beside, and, you know, again, it's the same goal of Al-Qaeda. They want to establish a caliphate. The ISIS, the Islamic State of Syria and Iraq. These are all the jihadis that are forming in Syria and Iraq right now. Their goal is to reestablish a Sunni caliphate. And there's other organizations like Hizb ut-Tahrir. This is a very peaceful organization that's spreading. They have conferences up in Chicago to see the reestablishment of the caliphate. In Turkey, there's a movement called the Turkish-led Islamic Union. I actually think they stand to be probably one of the more likely to succeed in establishing. But there's various organizations, movements throughout the Islamic world to see that reestablished. And some of them are peaceful, some of them are jihad, you know, are violent, radical. And but the point is, this is a yearning throughout the Islamic world in various, you know, spheres of society and so forth. And so it's not just sort of some conspiracy, you know, prophecy, conspiracy thing. It's a very real and vibrant political movement in the earth today. So just raise your hand if you have a question. Otherwise, we'll all go to bed. Yep. Sure. What about the Pope? Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, the false prophet. Because in Revelation 13, you have a character called the Antichrist, and then you have the false prophet that's essentially his assistant. But here's what I would say is this, is that I'll just be personal with you. You know, as everybody knows this anyway, Christians can be jerks, and so while there are legitimate issues that I have as a Protestant with Catholic doctrine, a lot of that really is just sectarian antichrist pointing. You're the antichrist. No, you're not. You're the great whore. No, you're the whore. You know, and so you know, there's that reality that came out of the Reformation. And so we need to be aware of that, and then out of that develops just this rich tradition of you know, developing it theologically, and you know, entire works devoted to that. Now, on a serious note, throughout Iraq, throughout Syria, tens of thousands of Christians being slaughtered for the name of Jesus are Catholic. So, you know, I don't know where they are in terms of, you know, here's the way I view it. Every denomination has error, has some error. Some have way more than others. Every denomination has a particular ratio. Every church has a particular ratio of wheat to tares, those that are true and those that aren't. Some denominations have a very much higher ratio of tares to wheat. Now, of course, we try to go to the ones that have a higher ratio of wheat. We think, we try to anyway. But I do believe that Catholics can be saved. I think that they do a great job of disguising and hiding and cloaking the gospel. I do think they do a good job of shrouding the true gospel. But I believe it's possible for someone in the Catholic Church to be saved. And I believe that many of those that are giving their lives for Christ, and you know, of course, Catholicism is different all over the world. You know, what it is in Iraq and Mexico and Canada or Boston where I grew up, you know, it's different everywhere. But I believe that many of those that are giving their lives for Christ, and my prayer is that the Catholic Church will continue to do so in the years ahead. that there will be give faithful martyrs. Where it will really all end up is, I have no idea. And a lot of it depends on, you know, who the Pope is and what direction it goes and this, that, and the other thing. So I'm trying to put a very positive spin on it. I'm not an apologist for the Catholic Church. You know, I want to be clear. I have very strong doctrinal issues with Catholic theology. But we do need to acknowledge the fact that they've historically defended the Trinity, the divine incarnation of God in Christ, the atonement. Well, that's probably where we'd have the big potential controversy. But, you know, for the most part, they defended those things. And, you know, it says in 1 John 2:22, the spirit of the Antichrist denies the Father, denies the Son. And, you know, we can get into all the things of the Pope, you know, being the vicar of Christ and all those problems. You know, I'm not trying to whitewash it. But the point is, I think the end times are going to be messy, confusing. And it's not just going to be like, Catholics are going to be here. We're going to be here. We're going to be on the good side. They're going to be on the bad side. You know, it's going to be a big mess. And household will be divided against household. And, you know, this sort of thing. So there's probably no real easy answer there. But I just, you know, I try to be positive and encouraging. And now I'll also add this. When I was in Egypt, you have the Copts. Now, the Copts are more like Orthodox than Catholic, but it's similar. They tend to be very, very culturally raised in it, and it's a very liturgical, ancient form of Christianity. Well, the evangelicals, the Catholics, the Copts, all of them are coming together, and they are praying for about the past 10 to 20 years, but it's increased. Since November 11th, 2011, they had a prayer gathering up in, it's called St. Simon's Church in Cairo. It's a mountain called Mokattam, and it's also called the Trash Church because it's this big, like, trash recycling city. And they had, now picture this, 83 million Arabs in Egypt. 10%, about maybe 10%, that would be 8 million, 8 to 10 million are Christian. 8 to 10 million Christian, the entire nation, they had a prayer meeting of 70,000 people that prayed from 6 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning, worshiping and praising Jesus all night long, crying out for their nation. They have prayer meetings in Egypt, and again, it's the Copts, it's the Catholics, it's the evangelicals. They all come together because they're all persecuted together. And if you want to go to these prayer meetings that last all night long, you have to buy a ticket. Now, I know if Pastor Dave has a prayer meeting, you all are just packed in. You know, it's like it's Dave and Jim shows up, and it's like, all right, well, you know. So can you imagine if the American church had that kind of zeal? And so it's hard because, you know, I look at that and I go, well, I have doctrinal issues, I have problems with Catholicism or this and that, but then you look at them worshiping and crying out and you go, there's something there that we don't have. So, you know, we need to be careful in these things in terms of all of that. But I know that I lean toward being a little bit more, you know, cautious there. Others would probably take a bit of a harsher, and it's not that I'm light on doctrine. I'm not, you know, but anyway. All right. Time to go to bed. And sure. Yes. I view, so you'll understand this question, everybody else. So you had the Persians, the Medo-Persians. Now there's an interesting verse in Daniel 7, which it's speaking of the fourth empire, and it's speaking of its destruction. And it says it will be destroyed. And then it says the others were given an extension of life for a period of time. Now, what a lot of people do is they look at that verse and they say, well, so these other empires exist at the end of time and they're going to be allowed to live on into the millennium. No, I don't believe that's what it's saying. What it's saying is it's speaking to the nature of the destruction of those previous empires. And so what it's saying is that while the fourth empire, when it is destroyed, will be destroyed immediately, completely, and wholly, the others would live on for a period of time in the empires that conquer them, etc. So in the case of the Parthians, which was the greatest revival rival to the Romans, and then their successors, the Sassanids, they are essentially just an extension, an ongoing extension of the Persians, because that's what they were. They were basically the Artaxerxes dynasty or something like that. They were an extension of the Persians that lived on side by side. And then really it was after them came the Islamic Empire, because the Islamic Empire is really what finally conquered the Persians. The story, by the way, is Khalid ibn Walid was sort of the general of Muhammad's armies in those early days, and Islam has to extend an invitation to you before it comes and conquers. It's part of their theology. So he sends an invitation to the Persians that were then at that time primarily Christians. Those Persians were Christians, as well as Zoroastrians, which were kind of a ancient dualistic religion. And he said, Khalid ibn Walid, the ruler of the armies of Islam, to the rulers of Persia, embrace Islam and it will go well with you. Otherwise, I bring you a people that love death as much as your people love drinking wine. And so the Christians said, thank you very much. We must decline your invitation. Khalid came and beheaded over 1,000 men in one day in a trench. He had some sick obsession. He wanted to make the trench run with blood, but it was too hot, and he just one after another just beheaded. I mean, it was like, I don't know the exact number. It was like over 1,000 people. And Islam, that crushing, squelching spirit of Islam has rested on that beautiful nation of Persia ever since. And the government is still, you know, applying that suffocating pressure, but the people of Iran are resisting, and you have right now the greatest Christian revival in the earth in Iran. You have the church in Iran, the evangelical church, is growing at 20% per year. That's doubling every 4 years under the pressure and the persecution. The spirit of the Persian peoples are turning back to Christ. So anyway, I don't know if that answered. Did that answer your question? And then I essentially view them as an extension. What's that? Yeah. I mean, it's just an extension of the Persian Empire. It was conquered, but it still in many ways lived on even after the Greeks withdrew. So, all right. It's been a long night.